Welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. I am your host, Kevin Kaufman, and along with my business partner and co-founder, Fred Weaver, we bring to you our podcast, The Kevin and Fred Show, where once a week we bring to you an expert interview every single Monday. We interview one of the brightest and best in the world, usually in the real estate space, sometimes in technology, sometimes in entrepreneurship, sometimes just in forward thinking. The things that are going to help us learn to move forward are the things that we're interested in bringing to you on this podcast, so we don't keep it limited to just real estate agents. And I think you'll find that really valuable if you've been listening or if you're a new listener, all in the same. We also bring you once a week something we call industry headlines, which is a look at what is going on in the real estate world, what's happening in the mortgage space, what's happening in the technology space. Bring that to you in a short form, 10, 15 minute podcast at the most, once a week on Wednesdays. We're also a proud member of the Industry Syndicate family of real estate and mortgage podcasts. Check out that app in the App Store. Again, that's Industry Syndicate. And if you would, please do us a favor. Please leave us a review, download, subscribe, share an episode with a friend. We would love it. There is no better way to say thank you, except for maybe a real estate referral, because we are, after all, real estate agents, and we love real estate referrals. We're based in the Phoenix area and would love to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in to the Kevin and Fred Show. Hey guys, Kevin here. I'm so excited about today's episode. My friend Katie Klesitz joins us on this week's episode of the Kevin and Fred Show, and Katie is going to share her, I guess, kind of unique story. I had initially asked Katie to come speak at our annual conference called Next Level Agents Live, or NLA Live, as I like to call it, this past April, but as you can imagine, that was canceled with this year's weird ass events. And so instead, I got her to agree to come on the show here. And Katie, if you don't know her, first of all, she's just an amazing sweetheart of a person. And we got to talk about a few things. So Katie shared her story about how she kind of got into real estate on her own terms, how she's built what's really a massive rental portfolio at this point, and kind of even what her goals are when it comes to this. She's talked a lot about her real estate investing strategy that's helped her. Just for context, she's got 52 homes, or I should say added 52 homes in the last year. And she's been able to take what she knows and build a team and effectively scale a process around what she knows best, which is how she's been able to scale her portfolio so fast. So she also shares with us in this conversation, like, the bumps and challenges in the road of, like, going down this path. And she certainly, you know, didn't shy away from that, which I love. She's also shared some advice for anybody who's looking to become an investor and kind of follow in her footsteps. And then finally, I asked her this question because it's important to me, because I don't think it's talked about enough in our industry, but I asked her what it's like building this big business, and being a busy mom. Like, in fact, one of her children walked in on the interview, and if you're watching the video, you'll see him just kind of hanging out on the couch in the background for a couple minutes. And Katie managed to not lose it. We didn't edit it out because it's real and it's what happens. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode of the Kevin and Fred Show with my friend, Katie Klesitz. All right, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show, and today I'm joined by my friend, Katie Klesitz. Katie, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
I am so glad you're here. So first, I got to set this up. So first of all, if any of you recognize Katie's name, you know that her husband was on the podcast in the past, and he's done a few webinars for us inside Next Level Agents. He's become a really good friend of mine, but I've sort of known Katie longer, although I also kind of know Frank longer. There's a story to that.
He knew us separately.
Separately. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, like, I just want to tell this part of the story, and then we're going to get into your part of the podcast, Katie.
Perfect.
So Katie is originally from the Phoenix area as well, where I am, and involved in real estate probably your whole life, right? Because your parents have been in real estate probably since before you were born, I'm guessing.
Yeah, my dad actually got his real estate license when he was 18, but it's kind of just in my blood. My first job was at a Keller Williams office working a front desk when I was 14.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know Katie's father, it's Scott. His name is Scott Agnew. If you're from Phoenix, you know Scott. He's got Arizona license number 0005. So he's been in real estate for a minute. Super good guy. You know Scott if you're in real estate around here. So Katie and I, like, we had never met in person, but I know her mom and dad really well. Like, and her mom is maybe the nicest person on the planet. And
She's awesome.
right. And so we kind of know each other. I remember actually one time I was looking at a house you listed in Tempe for myself personally. I was thinking about buying it
Oh,
myself.
really?
Yeah, it was down right across the street from where I used to live, right off of Warner and Kyrene. And so, and maybe it wasn't Pecan Grove. I forget the name of the community. At any rate, so Katie and I go way back, kind of. But then I meet her now husband Frank, who, and I'm like, I don't know how I didn't put the two together. Like, I knew you had gotten married, but I didn't realize you married Frank. And so Frank and I are talking the first time we'd ever spent any time together. And he tells me, he's like, oh yeah, my father-in-law, Scott Agnew. I'm like, wait, you're married to Katie? And so anyways, all that. So I hope I haven't bored everybody because Katie's amazing. And you're gonna want to hear the rest of the story. But so Katie, you've been in and around real estate literally your whole life.
Yeah, like I actually kind of fought it too, if that makes sense. Like I started working at a real estate office, my dad's office in the East Valley when I was like 14, like working at the front desk. And I kind of worked there on and off all through like high school and college. And after college, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go try like getting a real job, like not selling real estate. And I kind of did that on and off, you know, for a couple of years. And finally, I was like, what am I doing? Like, why? Like, I kept kind of gravitating back towards real estate. So I finally got my real estate license. I think I was like 24 or 25. And that was, what year was it? Like 2010, which is when I finally decided to go get my real estate license. And I did that for a couple of years, and then I met Frank and let my license go in Arizona, moved to San Diego to have babies and get married and, you know, be a
Live
stay-at-home
the
mom for a
dream.
while. Live the dream, yeah. Just for a stay-at-home mom for a while. And after a couple of years of that, I was like, my brain is going to like absolute mush. I'm like, I can't think straight anymore. Like, time to get back into real estate. But I didn't want to be a traditional real estate agent because I wanted to like be in control of my own time. And I also didn't want to build a real estate team in San Diego. And I didn't want to be driving buyers around on Saturdays and Sundays. And so Frank and I had a conversation and it was like, well, why don't you just like focus on building like our residential, like real estate, you know, like our rental portfolio. And I was like, oh, he's like, because that's what you've gravitated towards before when you were in real estate. And I was like, all right, sounds like a plan. And that's kind of what happened about a year ago.
That's awesome. I'll never forget. It was about a year ago. I was sitting there in Frank's office in San Diego and we were talking and he was like, yeah, he was telling me about what you were doing. And I was like, what? I'm like, oh yeah. Like she's ready to be back in real estate, but not, you know, kind of not the traditional way. And I'm like, I was just thinking like, you guys live in San Diego. You're just talking about driving buyers around. I can't even imagine driving around in that traffic with a client and things like that.
Yeah, it was just, and there was an appeal to it though, because I'm like, oh my gosh, commissions here. Like, you know, you're selling a house for 750 to $1 million. Like, that's normal. And so there was an appeal to it. So I actually went through all the licensing, like passed my test, did everything out here. And at the final hour was like, you know what? Like, I don't think it's worth it. Like, it wasn't the life. Like, I started to really think about the life I wanted to live, and it wasn't congruent, you know, with the life Frank and I wanted. I wanted to be able to travel and go places and go back and forth to Arizona and see my family. And I just didn't want to be tied down. So
I love that.
we shifted.
You did. You did. And so, well, so let's talk about that. So you decided not to go back into the traditional real estate way of, you know, being an agent, the way you kind of grew up, if you will, in the business. So what I find fascinating is you decided to go into investing, which you just kind of talked about, but you started buying homes in Omaha, which isn't in San Diego. And
Right.
it's not in Phoenix either, so or Tempe. So, I mean, well, where did that come from?
So I have to kind of set that up a little bit, because when Frank and I first got married, he owned 5 rental properties in Omaha, and Frank's from Omaha. I was pretty familiar with Omaha because we, you know, we'd been dating and got married, and I understood the Omaha market to an extent. It was way more affordable than Phoenix or San Diego.
Right.
I also have family there. So it was kind of like I had a little bit of a tie to Omaha, but mostly it was Frank. He started out with 5 houses when we first got married. He bought his first when he was 18. Crazy person. He's insane. So he decided, he's like, oh, I can buy this house. And he rented out all the rooms and literally lived in the kitchen to get his like mortgage paid. But that was his first rental, and we still own it, which is crazy.
That's what that, I think then, all of the kids these days call that house hacking or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So, I mean, Frank started doing that when he was 18, I think, or he was either 18 or 19 when he bought his first house. And that's when the lenders were doing crazy stuff with mortgages, you know? And yeah, so he was able to buy a house, but he rented out all the rooms so he could own a home instead of paying rent to someone else. And it kind of just, his whole, like, he just kind of fell in love with rental properties then, and acquired a few more before we got married. And then after we got married, we had a plan where we wanted to own 25 rental properties by the time we were 40. And our plan was to acquire 1 to 2 a year, traditionally off the MLS with 20% down, after tax money. And man, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, after tax money, and we're like brand new married, trying to build his business, and we have little kids, and it was just going really slow, if that makes sense. But we ended up last year, we had 15. So that's
good. That's a good start. That's a good
year. Yes, it was. So 15, we acquired those over about, I would say over 10 years, we acquired 15, and between the ones he had before me and when we got married. And I'm so grateful we did that, because of those 15, we had an LLC that had track record as landlords and property managers. And we were making enough money in our little LLC with these, you know, with these houses. So it gave us some validity when we wanted to exponentially grow, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total mm-hmm. sense. As soon as you said that, I realized, like, oh, okay, I get it now. Mm-hmm. That's part of the bigger plan. So tell me then what you start buying homes. You've got a track record now in this LLC. What happens next for you?
So, well, what happened is we were having a conversation with one of our friends. He's like, oh yeah, I'm buying all these investment properties. About 100 last year. And we're like, wait, what? How did you do that? Because we knew that financially we were kind of in the same position. We're just like, oh my gosh, how in the hell is he buying 100 houses a year? And we're like trying to buy 2, maybe 3. And how, like, we can do this. So he started talking to us about the BRRRR strategy. And for someone, like, we've been in real estate, we've been around it, but this was like a whole new concept. Like, I just didn't realize how simple it was, if that makes sense. So BRRRR is like, basically you buy a house, you renovate it, you rent it, you refinance and repeat. And the key there is buying this house 70% below market value, or ARV, what it would be worth after you get it rented. Right. After you get it renovated and rented and stuff.
So that way and I'm definitely no specialist, but so that way when you buy it at 70% of the ARV, you've got the money in there to renovate it, get it rented out, refinance it. And then now you've got the money to go repeat, right?
Yeah. Well, you have built-in equity. So you find a bank that will refinance the house for you. And instead of having to come to the bank with 20% down, they look at that 20% equity that you built into the house as kind of your 20% down payment. And I mean, all the banks are a little different. Sometimes they range between 70 and 80%, but that's for a whole nother lesson yeah. podcast webinar that I could spend weeks talking about.
So that might be like a couple day workshop, actually.
Yes. But the concept is you have the built-in equity that you can then use to refinance. So the idea is to basically be out of pocket $0, or sometimes you get a couple $1,000s back, or sometimes you have to come to close with a couple $1,000s. But for us, instead of having $20,000 or $30,000 down on a house to purchase it conventionally, we're able to maybe come out of pocket $2,000 or $3,000 per house. Or sometimes we get money back depending on how our appraisals come back with the banks.
That's awesome. So so I'm going to thank you for like kind of slowing down and sharing that part with us.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to make sure we talk about, and maybe I should do this. So fast forward me to today. Give me an idea, like how many rental properties do you guys have do you have in your portfolio right now?
So I have over 52 in Omaha.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that's just in a year with COVID. We didn't buy anything for like 6 months, which is crazy. And then I have a partner in Waco, where we basically partnered up, and in Waco, we've purchased 28 properties in the last like 5 months.
Okay. That's huge. And here's where the story really starts to open up, like not necessarily just the partner in Waco, but what I've gotten from this is you guys, and granted, I know a lot more because I know you and Frank well and get to talk to you guys regularly. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit for the listener now.
Yeah.
One of the things is you've been able to build a team. Like this isn't like you're just sitting there cold calling.
I hate cold calling.
Right. This isn't how you do it. Like you've actually been able to take what you know on how to identify properties and then kind of build a team and a process around it.
Correct. So my full-time job is basically meetings, especially since I'm doing this remotely. Because it's an affordable market. Like there's no way I could be doing this at the scale I'm doing it in San Diego or even Phoenix, which are kind of like coastal, you know, I'd consider those like coastal markets. So it just really works in these Midwest markets. And we've built a team. I have callers in the Philippines that answer all my inbound calls and put everything into a CRM. And we use Zoho as a CRM that we kind of have built out for ourselves, because these leads are expensive and we don't want to lose them. You know what I mean? So having that CRM to follow up, just like in a traditional real estate business, like we can nurture these people for 6 months to a year before they finally decide they want to sell us their house. And it's a very long-term play for us. This is not like, hey, I get a call and I go out there and I buy their house. There's a lot more to it. But I have a transaction coordinator, a project manager, and then I have people on the ground that go out to these houses and get video for me and meet with the sellers and present an offer like on my behalf. And they're employees of ours.
Wow.
They are not licensed agents. They're employees of ours that go out, gather the information. And then basically, when I say present the offer, they basically just give my offer to the seller. They're like a conduit of me.
Right. So they're kind of, because you're not licensed, they're not licensed. So it's
correct.
Which is cool and really smart. You mentioned like the leads, and they're not cheap, right? No matter what you're doing, if you want to get kind of downstream correct. Leads, obviously something I know that is at work in your household is marketing at a high level. So you guys have that, but tell me, like, if I remember correctly, I know you guys are direct mail. Is it like Facebook and
direct mail is our major? Direct mail is definitely our number one way to get people to call us. And they're typically they're warm leads. Like, you know, we send out the direct mail and they raise their hand and say, hey, yeah, I'm interested. Send someone out to give me a offer. We do use Facebook, but Facebook is nurturing those is a little bit longer, and people on a whim will like say, hey, yeah, give me an offer. And they're not really that serious on Facebook, but I've gotten some really good deals off of Facebook. And another thing that we do is I have really good relationships with agents on the ground, and I'm kind of like their cash buyer for listings that they don't want to put on the MLS. So, because I mean, as an agent, you know, you go to a house and you're like, oh, like you're thinking this is going to be like a great listing, and you walk in, it's a hoarder's house, and the house needs $25,000 in work for them to get the money they need out of it, but they don't have the $25,000 to fix the house up. So I do have great relationships with agents that'll call me up and say, hey man, like, do you guys want to buy this house? Like, I'll do it for a flat fee of anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000, depending on like the actual house, and they'll represent the buyer and the seller, and we'll happily use a licensed agent in those situations.
That's awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this too. Because so far we've hit some over 50 homes. First of all, like, that's huge, the way you've been able to grow the portfolio in a relatively short period of time. I mean, has it all been easy? Have you had some like bumps in the road? Or
of course there's been bumps in the road. I lost like $150,000 with a contractor.
Ooh.
I tried to do a big deal with a partner that didn't show up with the funds, you know, at the final hour. And I've learned a lot, you know, in the last year, there's definitely been some pitfalls. And the biggest thing I think is that I could give anyone the advice on is like the contractors, you know, making sure you have like a cost plus agreement with your contractors. Also, once again, a total, like a freaking weekend lesson on how to do that. But the biggest place to lose money is not having things in writing specifically with contractors or partners. And for me, I'm a very trusting person, and I'm kind of like, oh, well, if they say this is what they're going to do, like that's what they're going to do. And I forget that not everyone is like that. You know what I mean?
As it turns out. Yeah.
Yeah. As it turns out, like, I've definitely hit some big bumps in the road, but because of those 15 rentals I had before, I kind of started at third base, if that makes sense. But that took us 10 years to get there. It won't take someone just starting out I don't think that long to get there. But those houses, I had a lot of equity in those houses. And so I used that's how I got started, is we used the equity in those houses to have the buying power to go out and purchase all these other houses. And we have some relationships with some really good family friends. And my aunt actually loaned me the money on the first house that we bought cash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which was kind of, you know, it's kind of nerve wracking, you know, borrowing money from like a family member, but she lent us $168,000 on our first house that we bought. Still the most expensive house I've bought to date, but like, which is crazy. And I paid her interest payments on that monthly. And she's like, this is great. Like, she loved being a hard money lender. Like, she'd never done it before. And she came from the corporate world and had retired and had all this money and was like, what do I do with it now to like make more money? Cause she didn't know, it's funny. She comes from the corporate world and didn't know exactly like what to do with it. And she's like, hard money lending is where it's at, man. You know, like she loved it. So it was I didn't think that she would be interested in that at all, but she had the funds, liked her 10% a month, interest check. And she now I still borrow money from her occasionally because she loves her interest payments, and it makes me happy to like give her her interest payments.
That's so awesome. Well, let me ask you this, because you grew up around big thinking people. Like your parents think big. They've built some really amazing businesses. You know, you grew up around Gary Keller in a lot of ways too, even though not in the same city. Like you don't have the life that you have had without like starting to think big. So like, what's the big goal here? Like, okay, great, you're buying houses, but like, what are you really after?
You know what? That's a great question, because it kind of keeps evolving.
I bet.
If you would have asked me this time last year, it was like, okay, we just want to get like we wanted to own $14 million of real estate in Omaha, because Frank and I wanted $1 million a year in retirement income was kind of what we were thinking. So we worked backwards from that, and it worked out to about $14 million in real estate or 140 houses, which basically is like $140,000 a month, but we allocate 40% of that for vacancies, repairs, and it works out to $84,000 a month, basically nets us almost $1 million a year. So that was us a year ago. Well, now it's like, okay, well, we could do that in Waco. We can do it in Omaha. Let's do it in some more markets. So our goal is to have 8 markets that we do that in with partners, friends of ours, or people that we, you know, that we really want to work with and be in business with and help them grow, especially real estate agents. Like some of our friends in real estate, they help all these other people become wealthy in real estate and forget to freaking work on their own retirement plan.
Yep.
And so that's kind of our partners in Waco. They are highly successful, like real estate agents, run amazing real estate teams and didn't own any rental properties of their own, but had all this cash and the ability to finance this and our goal with them in Waco is to buy 100 houses to 150 houses there next year and just keep rolling and help them build, you know, build their rental portfolio. So I'd like to do that in about 8 affordable markets with friends or people, like-minded people, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is so cool. So I won't do the math on that right now, but that's gonna be a lot of money, by the way, when you guys accomplish that. So, which I'm not surprised to hear that you've got like a really big goal that is something way beyond what most people think about. You know, you mentioned something a few minutes ago about starting at third base, and but I want to go back to that for a second, because what I don't think can be overstated is, we all know what like compounding interest is, right? You know, you put your money in the bank, and we know how that works. But I think the same is also true in business and in knowledge, right? And in experience, where, you only had, had 5 or 10 properties at first. And then, but the amount of knowledge that you have from having those properties for a couple of years, in that case, a decade, right? It really actually does add up. And you also were on third base from a understanding real estate business, even though it was new to you, get into the investment game. And I think that,
I wish I would have had a degree in banking before I did this.
Right. Well, you have one now.
Yeah, basically.
You basically have one now. But I think what happens is people go, they hear the end of your story where you're at of like, hey, cool, it was going to be 140 homes in Omaha, but now it's like, now we're going to do that in 8 different markets. And they want to fast forward to that part, but they overlook the fact of once you get the first property and then the second property, and maybe even the first 5 after a couple of years, you're actually way on your way. And Fred and I were talking about this in a business
100%
that we own together, is like, you know, let's just use money, because we all like to make money on some level. It's at least part of the goal, right? The first million might take this amount of time.
Yeah.
But that second million might only take like this small sliver of it, or maybe it just takes half. But, and the whole thing is like, this all starts to compound over a period of time.
Yeah. And you have to start somewhere. Like, I wouldn't obviously recommend people going and doing what we're doing. Like, we're spending $8,000 to $10,000 a month on marketing, but we had the bandwidth and the ability to do that. Like, if you're just starting out, like, don't spend $10,000 a month on marketing. Like, find your first deal. Like, we call it in the investment world, like, bird dogging, you know, like, go drive through, or driving for dollars, go drive through a neighborhood, leave a note on someone's door and say, hey, would you like a cash offer on your home? You know, or send out a handwritten letter. Like, you can do a lot of this yourself to get your first deals, you know, under, look on the MLS. That's something else we do. Like, we'll look on the MLS and make offers on houses that have been on the market for 90 days to 6 months. And we'll make an offer at 70% below what they're asking. And sometimes they take it. You don't know what situation they're in, but just start with one. And you don't have to have cash up front. You can still buy it, buy it conventionally, and then refinance and pull that 20% back out. So there's lots of ways to go about it. Get a home equity line of credit to buy your first one, you know, if you own your home, like, but just start with one.
Yeah. Don't overlook, basically what I'm hearing is like, don't overlook like what might be seem like an easy one or a small amount, but actually go get it, go accomplish that. And then now you can go on to number two, and then you can go on to number three.
Yeah, I think, I think some people have a hard time investing like remotely. But I think that if you you could either like invest, you can still invest in your market. Like, for example, like my parents would prefer buying houses in 85284 in Tempe for their rentals because they're close and that's what they're comfortable with. But then like, if you find a really good property manager in these areas that you want, you know, that you want to buy in the Midwest that are affordable, you can still buy houses in these more affordable markets with a good property manager.
Totally.
That has a good camera. That has a good camera.
It's all about the team, right? Like, you still have a team.
And or partner with an agent, you know, partner with an agent that understands investments.
Totally. By the way, I love that real life just happened right now. Your son just like walked in randomly, just laid down. He's like, mom's just on, she's doing something. I'm just going to lay down back here.
Oh no, I'm surprised he didn't start yelling, "Mommy, how do you get the Nintendo to work?"
I love it. Like, you know what? So that's funny, because now I want to change my next question, because it totally made me think of something. I was going to ask, give me some tips for like maybe someone new starting out. Like, what are a couple things they should think about? But I want to change that a little bit. I want to talk specifically to something more unique. You're a Kitty, you're a mom. You were in real estate, but then you took time off. Like, you guys started your family. You've been supporting Frank and his business for a while. And I think a lot of people, a lot of females, and I'm going to speak specifically to females, because they have the way society is set up is like, well, you're a homemaker, or you're the, or maybe you're a working mom, or maybe you're not. Like, you went and you did what you had to do to start your family. And then you decided I could start something, even though I'm still like, you're still very much nurturing your family. Like, talk to the other moms out there, or maybe just other females who think real estate investing isn't for me, or running a business isn't for me. What would you say to that person?
You know what? Like, it's crazy that you asked that question, because I think I still struggle with it. I still struggle with the balance. Like, it's kind of always ongoing. And there's certain days where I feel bad that I'm like, oh my God, I have a fire I have to put out and I have to focus on it, and I'm going to miss the kids' soccer practice. But I'm really fortunate that I do have some help with the kids, especially during COVID. You know, I have, and my family doesn't live here. So, you know, we hired someone to like help us with the kids. And she's kind of like an extension of me, which gives me a lot less guilt, if that makes sense, because she's amazing. I mean, if we're on vacation, the kids are like, when can we come home and see Veronica? So that makes, you know, like, that makes me really happy. But it was a challenge, and I still struggle with it on certain days. But, and I struggle with, sometimes I want to work more than be with the kids, you know, and sometimes I want to be with the kids and I want to not work. But I think it just depends on, at that moment, which is a little more high priority, which needs you more in that moment. And you kind of just juggle them and you balance them. And I'm really grateful too that Frank's always super supportive, and he's like, I don't know how you do it. What do you need? Like, let's figure out, let's get you what you need to like make sure that you can keep doing this and still be a good mom. And I think part of it is we work from home too, so the kids still see us a lot. We're still around, and we'll take time off in the middle of the day to, like, I took Michael to the park this morning, you know? And so we take time off to do that type of stuff, but it is a balance, and you just have to know that it's not going to be easy. It's not something that just, I think, comes naturally to someone that is super nurturing and wants to take care of their family. But I look at it this way, as I'm doing this to build wealth for our family, and that makes me feel good about myself. It's kind of what I needed. You know, I needed to feel like I was contributing, and more so than just being a stay-at-home mom. And I say that very like, there is no such thing as just a stay-at-home mom. Like, they do so much.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. Do you know? Like, I realized, I was like, I needed to go back to work. Like, I needed that for myself. And I had, guess like the right, I had to be a little selfish, I guess, to go back to work. If that makes any sense.
It does. And sorry, like, I know I threw you a curveball, but
it's fine.
The truth is, I think the last couple, like 2 or 3 minutes there were super, super powerful, because I think that's something that not enough women talk about, or they're ashamed of, because they have the similar feeling. And the fact that you just laid out 30 minutes of a ton of value on how you are building this massive real estate empire. And then you just shared some of the things that you're insecure about, and some of the things that I think some people, they see someone like you, Katie, who has built something really great already and has aspirations for something even bigger, and just assume you have your shit together and that real life doesn't show up.
Oh my God. No, real life shows up every 5 freaking minutes.
Right. I know. And which was why I love that. Like, I love that he just walked in right there while we're recording, and you kept going. Like, you didn't let it throw you off. I was going to tell you that we could pause and edit it out, but I really was like, I want to just see how this plays out. And so sorry. That was like my little game going on in the back of my head.
No, it's fine. But the biggest thing is, like, I don't have it all figured out, you know? And I think sometimes I struggle, like, watching these women on these podcasts, and they talk about how they're like, they're like so intense, and they're so like, hey, this is how, like, I do this. And I'm like, hey, can we talk about real life? Because real life still freaking happens. And it does. It really happens. And you just have to kind of roll with it. And sometimes, yeah, my team can't get a hold of me for 2 hours, and they have to freaking figure it out, because yeah, I have to be a mom.
It is. Well, that stuff really shows up. And what I hate, and this isn't just like, this is just the industry overall, is that we put something, someone on stage, and it looks a certain way, but it's like a very narrow view, and it's not real life as to what's really going on in their business or in their life. It's like, imagining all people look like the models you see in a magazine or on a website. Like, it's right. That's not how it shows up. Like, no.
I mean, Kevin, this is the first time I've done my hair in like a week.
This is awesome. I love it. I feel so honored, by the way.
But no, I think it's really important to talk to women about it and let them know, like, hey, like you can just start somewhere. It doesn't have to be this big whole thing. And yeah, like, even though I'm doing these, I forget how big it is till someone like asked, like you asked me how many houses we own. And I'm like, wait, wow, I did that. Like, I kind of forget because I'm so in it all the time, just like with the kids and with work. And it's nice when someone asks me and I can sit back and I'm like, oh, I actually did accomplish that. That's kind of crazy. Like, I did that. Wait, how did we do that? I don't even know, but somehow it's working.
It's badass. It really is. And that's seriously, it's one of the things I love about you just like as a person is you're just sort of you, like here I am. And you're super fun to be around, but you're also like, yeah, it's hard. It's screw up sometimes. But then when you take a look at your accomplishments, like you're building something really cool, really big. It's really important to me. I have two daughters. I want them. That's why this is really important to me. I want them to know that like you can do really big things and it doesn't matter how you know, society teaches it's supposed to look. It can look however it's going to look. And so I love that you're doing this. I love that you're sharing with other people. I love that you're real. So thank you for sharing with us. Seriously, it means a lot.
Of course. I loved it.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else that like I should have asked you or anything you're like, man, I really want to make sure I share this before we go today?
I just want to reiterate like that if you guys do want to get into like the real estate investing game, like just start somewhere, you know what I mean? Start with one. I mean, and it can be a house that you buy for $45,000 in the middle of freaking the Midwest that you put down, you had to put 10 grand into or 10 grand down. Like you don't need to have a crap ton of money to start, but start somewhere and don't keep saying, Oh, next year, like figure out how to do it now because starting now it's exponential. Do you know what I mean? Like the first one's a little hard. It's like what you said about the $1 million, like the first million's hard, but then that second million comes a lot faster. So start somewhere, like, don't be afraid to, you know, take a little risk and like believe in yourself and know that it's going to be fine. You know, like you're going to figure it out. And the cool thing about real estate is it's an asset. Make sure you have really good freaking insurance on your houses. Super important. Make sure you have a great property manager and don't be a slumlord.
Such great advice.
Like, don't be a slumlord. Like something we do with all of our houses is we typically rent them about $100 below market. We get incredibly good tenants. We fix anything that breaks and our tenants never leave. So I never have vacancies. And then they refer all of their friends.
Imagine like, that. Take care of people, be good to them.
Good to them. Obviously there's certain tenants you have to get rid of because they're a-holes, but for the most part, I've bought a lot of houses from I'd call them slumlords because they don't have the money to fix up the houses. And those are kind of my favorite because the tenants are so grateful. They're like, oh my God, I have someone that's going to fix my AC. Oh my God, I don't have a hole in my roof now. I'm like, I can't believe you were living like this.
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy the way some people treat their tenants or their assets or just things like that.
It's like, take care of them. Cause those tenants are in charge, basically your eyes and your ears of one of the biggest assets you'll ever own, you know, like why not take care of them so that they take care of your house? And yeah, there's nightmare stories about tenants, but for the most part, like even during COVID, all of my tenants paid rent. There was a few that were a little late, but they talked to us. We worked it out because they don't want to lose us as landlords. They're like, where else are we going to go? You know?
Yeah.
And they worked with us to get, you know, like some of them lost jobs and they got government assistance that helped them, but we worked with them and all of our tenants are still there. And I mean, we freaked out. We took all of our money out of the stock market to pay our mortgages just in case like our tenants, you know, didn't pay, but fortunately we didn't have to use that money, which is very, very good.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hopefully that helps.
I'll never forget. Maybe I'll share it another time on another podcast, but I was talking to Frank, like it was like the day of the world, like the day we realized shit, things are never going to be the same. Like something happened today. I'll never forget. I probably talked to Frank for like an hour that day. We're just like talking about all the crazy stuff going on. And yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen then, back in early March. And it's so awesome to hear the way your tenants and the way stuff has just continued to work for you. Before we sign
off, it's an act of God. I don't know.
You take care of people, they take care of you, Katie. Yeah. Like, it doesn't surprise me at all. Like, I'm not even a little bit surprised. If someone wants more information, or they want to, I don't know if they can even learn from you or not. Like, what's the best way if someone's just going, man, I really liked Katie's story, I want to learn from her or follow her, where do people do that?
You know what? I probably should set something up like that. Frank's kind of like working on it for me, because that's not really like
my forte. Damn it, Frank, hurry that up.
But if anyone wants to talk to me or has questions, they can always just email me directly. Do you want me to say it out loud right now, or you want to?
You can, or you know what? I've got it. I could put it in the show notes so that people can grab it.
Yeah, put it in the show notes, but it's katieclezets@gmail.com, and it's Katie with a Y. And go ahead, email me questions. I'll get back to you as soon as I can at some point in time. But I have no problem talking to people about this stuff. And I love talking to agents, especially in markets where they're affordable, you know, and possibly going into those markets and learning about, just learning kind of where they're at and what they're doing. So
maybe maybe there's someone out there listening that'll become a future partner one day. That would be awesome.
Yeah, no, that'd be freaking awesome. I would love that. So we have two partnerships right now in the works. And one is in Fort Hood, Killeen, Temple area of Texas. And the next one, Oklahoma City and Tulsa. So I'm really excited about those ones. So awesome. If we have any agents in those areas that ever want to sell us their houses, let me know.
Katie will buy them all.
I'll buy them all.
She'll take all of the houses. All right, Katie, I've taken way too much of your time today.
I super
appreciate you doing this today. I'm glad we got the chat, and hopefully next time it'll be in person.
I know, right? Maybe in December. We'll see you in December in Arizona.
Drag that guy out here with you and we'll go hang out.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you.
Talk to you soon, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Hey, it's Kevin and Fred. Do you have a referral for us here in Phoenix? There are 30,000 agents here that you could send them to. Why us? Well, for one thing, we'll keep you updated and you'll never have to track down your commission.
We'll also make you look really good to your client. And best of all, it helps us keep all this content free. So go to kevinandfred.com/referral to make the introduction. We'll take great care of them.
Did you enjoy today's podcast? Join the Kevin and Fred community, part of eXp Realty, and partner with us today. You'll get free access to live trainings 2 or more times a month, live events and in-person masterminds, digital downloads to help you run and scale your business, and much, much more. To learn more and join our community, visit kevinandfred.com/contact and contact us today. Not ready to join our community? No problem. Continue enjoying all this great content on our podcast for free.